Thank you for supporting WBEZ. You keep public media public. December gifts are among the most important because they set the tone for our reporting in 2026. Next year, we're doubling down on bringing you stories that arm you with the facts. This journalism relies on everyone contributing what they can. Join them today at wbez.org/donate.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. As the weather warms up, Chicagoans like to gather outside. And teenagers, they're no exception. But some residents and city council members are worried about large groups of teens getting out of control after incidents in recent years that led to property damage and arrests. Last week, the Chicago mayor's office held its first meeting on these so-called teen trends to determine how the city can maximize everyone's safety while also supporting young people. To break down citywide perspectives on the issue, Mariah Wolfel, WBEZ City Government and Politics reporter, joined us in the studio. And we began with trying to define a so-called teen trend or teen takeover. Here's Mariah.
There's not a clear definition. I think these events often get characterized by TV news or media outlets that cover them, you know, over the weekend after the fact. The city itself doesn't have a definition of a teen trend, but Deputy Mayor of Community Safety, Garian Gatewood, told me that it's typically when a flyer is associated with a large gathering of dozens of teenagers who are either going downtown or going to a specific neighborhood, and this flyer is circulating on social media and it has the word trend on it. Mm-hmm. And the city has noticed that those events that are associated with those types of flyers are the ones that tend to get out of hand or violent. And, you know, that's kind of how I've thought about it in my reporting as well.
Certainly those gatherings, I mean, is there any indication that they start out with maybe good intentions, that these teens are just kind of seeking a sense of belonging and just a place to be out in the city?
Yeah, I mean, of course, no doubt. I mean, you can't just like characterize all teens in a certain way. Even the ones who are going to these teen trends might be going because they think they're going to have a fun time and then
right.
things get out of hand. And then, you know, everyone who I've spoken to has noted that, you know, the vast majority of hangouts of teenagers, whether they're from the north side or the west side or the south side, that those hangouts don't make the news, that they're perfectly calm. They're fun for teenagers. And a big concern, you know, that legal reform advocates have around the debate around curfews is that even the debate itself around talking about where to ban teenagers in the city contributes to a sense that Black and brown teenagers aren't welcome in certain parts of the city, which certainly, you know, isn't or shouldn't be the case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, racial stereotypes are playing a huge role here in how they're viewed.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the ways in which racial stereotypes are playing a role here is that there's a lot of focus on, you know, these events when violence breaks out in the downtown area. But, you know, the mayor has noted, advocates who work on this issue have noted that it's not just the downtown area, Streeterville, or the north side who face these issues with gatherings that can get out of hand. You know, this happens in Hyde Park. This happens at 31st Street Beach. This happens, you know, all over the city. And so there's a problem of teenage kids not having places to go or productive things to do. And that speaks to a bunch of root different issues and causes in the city. And it's not just newsworthy when it happens downtown.
Right.
And that's one way that racial bias plays a role. And on top of that, there's concerns that stereotypes will play a role in how and when curfews are issued in the city. If, you know, this proposal goes through, you know, it's no secret that, you know, a group of Black teens who are, you know, minding their own business, having fun, you know, just hanging out in a perfectly normal teenage way,
mm-hmm.
Are seen as, you know, intimidating to
right.
people who don't check their racial bias or who have racist tendencies.
As in, you know, they've got to be up to some kind of mischief.
Right, exactly.
When that is not always the case.
So that's a huge concern with this proposal.
Yeah. Well, as you've already talked about, some of these gatherings have gotten out of hand. So can you tell us a bit more about what's happened in these teen takeovers that have gone out of control and what the concerns are there?
Yeah, I think that, you know, there's no doubt that you know, really tragic things have happened. You know, just a couple weeks ago, we were talking about a 14-year-old who was being charged in the shooting of a 15-year-old. And there's numerous examples of things of getting out of hand. The one thing that Mayor Brandon Johnson said is, you know, a 15-year-old with a gun is a problem no matter what time of day it happens. And so that was kind of his argument against curfews. But certainly, you know, what are known as teen trends can get out of hand and have become violent, whether kids are going down to, you know, engage in criminal activity or whether they're going down to have fun and then they see someone who they're fighting with, beefing with, things get out of hand and someone has a gun and it, you know, devolves from there.
Takes a turn for the worse. So to your point earlier, a lot of people are concerned about the message, though, that these efforts to control teens is sending to these young people, whether it's the curfews or just that extra police presence. I want to play a clip that we have from Kofi Adamola, who's an organizer and mentor with the group Good Kids Mad City.
I think just the mere fact that young people are shadowed by the police, shadowed by people who are carrying guns and who have the power to potentially arrest them and lock them up, that in itself creates an atmosphere of, you know, discombobulation, chaos, whatever you want to say. I would say that it actually escalates things. It's not a calming thing, right? You know, the young people don't see police and decide to either calm down or redirect their energy or so-called behave correctly, right? That's when, you know, it tends to seem like, you know, things kind of go left.
So do residents think that these strategies are sufficient, Mariah?
Well, I think what Kofi is pointing out, and many studies have showed, is that curfews don't necessarily work to curb teen violence. I spoke to one civil rights attorney today who said, I think that a curfew proposal like strongly misunderstands the psychology of teens, that a superintendent can issue a curfew and that, you know, a teenager who's headed downtown is going to see that and be like, well, I'm just going to stay home instead. I mean, that might work sometimes. But what Kofi's point was is that, like, policing is not necessarily the issue. That's not how teens are going to calm down. He thinks that teens need people who they care about, who they trust, to sort of intervene in these situations when they do get out of hand, because kids need a stake in why they're going to stop the behavior that, you know, that they're embarking on.
So on the topic of curfews, I know that there's a proposal, Mariah, from Alderman Brian Hopkins that is under consideration. What's the latest with that?
Yeah, so it would allow the Chicago Police Department, along with the mayor's office, to issue a curfew anywhere in the city based on probable cause that a teen gathering is going to happen. And the way that they define teen gathering is a group of 20 or more kids who that police deduce will likely result in criminal activity or a disturbance of the peace. And Superintendent Larry Snelling said this would be a preventative tool, not a tool to arrest people, so that CPD could issue a curfew ahead of when a teen takeover is planned and kind of stop it from happening.
Even though it's giving police more power, it sounds like.
It's giving police, and this is what civil rights attorneys point out, a lot of discretion to decide when a gathering might turn violent. And I think a lot of people are like, it's asking police to do predictive analysis of gatherings in a way that could open the city up to civil rights and constitutional litigation.
Yeah, and you've got more than 30 council members who are for this. They're pro stricter curfew laws.
Yeah, I think some are maybe at a loss of how to address this issue that seems to come up every weekend and dominate the news in the summer. And so they see this being spearheaded by one of the downtown aldermen, Brian Hopkins, who deals with this issue. Mm-hmm. And they sign on to it for that reason. And yeah, it does have enough votes to pass. And it also has enough votes to override a mayoral veto. And so Hopkins was negotiating with the mayor, who is adamantly opposed to curfews. And no, not many progressive council members are signed on to this, but this has the support of moderate to conservative council members and numerous members of the Black Caucus who are signed on to this, who make this a viable proposal.
So Johnson's still pretty opposed to curfews as he sort of has been.
Yes. And, you know, he did negotiate with Hopkins on this, but at the end of the day, he doesn't have the power here because this proposal, he started negotiating this proposal when it had 33 signatures on it already, which is more than enough to pass. So Johnson's opposed to it, but we'll see, you know, what happens tomorrow when the Public Safety Committee hears the ordinance and, you know, a substitute version of this ordinance, which we're all reporting on now. And that makes some tweaks to it, but not enough to satisfy constitutional attorneys and groups that have questions about it.
So no details just yet on that substitute ordinance. That's literal breaking news.
There's some details in that, you know, the mayor's office would have a hand in deciding when curfews are issued along with the superintendent. So the superintendent couldn't unilaterally just impose a curfew.
Okay.
And there are also some more clearly defined criteria of when police would determine probable cause. And so that could include materials like a flyer or social media circulation, you know, posts or previous, you know, history among, you know, organizers of these events of having organized previous, you know, teen gatherings. And so it kind of more clearly defines that and some other provisions that will be on our website shortly.
Absolutely. Well, for your previous story that is already on our website, you talked with Sheila Betty, who's a clinical law professor at Northwestern University. I want to play a little bit of what she has to say. She says that this curfew proposal, it's a big risk for the city.
So this proposal is shockingly unconstitutional and so divorced from what we know actually helps reduce incidents of young people engaging in any kind of unlawful conduct. And it would expose the city to significant legal liability were this to actually be enacted. It's actually quite shocking that this is being seriously considered by city council.
What else do civil rights attorneys say about this proposal from Alderman Hopkins?
Well, I think that they're worried about the city declaring a curfew and giving kids 30 minutes to abide by it. That is the notification time, including in the substitute ordinance. They're worried it gives police way too much discretion, as we talked about, and requires police to anticipate when there's going to be some sort of, not even criminal activity, but as it's defined in the ordinance, anything that's likely to present or cause an unreasonable risk to public health, safety, and welfare.
Yeah.
Just a lot of, you know, subjectivity there.
I'm just anticipating just some tense interactions, right? I've seen before from afar what it looks like when police get into a gathering and what it looks like when they're trying to clear things, clear the area, clear the scene. It's never good.
Yeah. And one of the things that they raised too is that, you know, a lot of the teenage clients that, you know, the National Lawyers Guild, for instance, or other groups represent, a lot of the infractions are actually not curfew violations. The curfew is a point of entry for police to approach kids, talk to them, and then, you know, potentially arrest them. And that's a huge concern about over-policing, especially of Black and brown youth, that maybe you're not being arrested on a curfew violation, but it gives police, if there is a curfew enacted in place, it gives police the reason to go up to any teenager in that area and approach them, ask them what they're doing out, and then, you know, potentially arrest them for curfew, but also potentially search them and find marijuana. And then it just starts this cycle of, you know, criminalization that I think that's what advocates spell out as a greater concern about this strategy overall.
Yeah. Sounds like it could lead to something that's very problematic, but could also help deter a crime. Right?
Yeah.
Which is that sort of fine line that we've got to walk here when we talk about these, again, so-called teen trends.
Right. Because when you talk about like the dispersal of kids and how chaotic that can be, that's what CPD says it's trying to prevent, that they don't even get to the point where there is a need for a dispersal issue, which can be, you know, chaotic. It can really escalate things between police and kids. And CPD argues that instead of that, you know, if we see on a flyer that something's going to happen, that we can just kind of like basically close off that area.
Get ahead of it.
Yeah. And whether that means kids will just go elsewhere or, you know, what happens after that, lots of questions.
That remains to be seen. So we'll look out for your reporting on what's next.
Thanks.
That's Mariah Wolfel, WBEZ City Government and Politics Reporter. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Ellie Gilbert-Bear. It was edited by Dan Tucker and mixed by Ari Mejia.
Reset's conversations take you inside Chicago news and culture. To stay connected, hit subscribe wherever you listen or visit us at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll talk again soon.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely